There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, Eleanor Morton here from All Rather Mysterious, here to tell you about the Weirdos Pantomime. Every year, alternative comedy collective Weirdos puts on a homemade pantomime to raise money for Great Ormond Street. We've got songs, award-winning comedians, and more cardboard props than you can shake a stick at. This year, join us as we try and save the local pub from closing in time for Christmas. With a cast including Adam Larter, Giles Norris, and Edinburgh Award nominee Lucy Pearman, and me. I play a spoon who is also a sailor, just to give you an idea of how silly it's going to get. So, join the Weirdos on the 9th and 10th of December at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London in aid of Great Ormond Street.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, and yes, calm down, we are actually friends.
If you've tried to put in sort of a plot.
I've enjoyed the season arc.
I'm trying to make the second series more exciting for everybody to have dramatic. These plots.
More exciting than the first series.
These plots
series.
Going on, like in a proper miniseries on HBO.
Are you doing this based on feedback, like the Sonic the Hedgehog people?
Oh, God.
I am going to put this out next year, though, to computer generate my head.
Make sure the CGI on the voices is all top-notch.
I want to sound like a Dalek.
I've been painstakingly just making you a Dalek.
Are you going to replace me with a younger, better-looking woman?
No. No, because I'm all about women being independent and happy.
Yeah, so I'm going to be replaced by a younger, better-looking woman.
You're going to be replaced by a Spanish man named Herculio.
And here I am.
Anyway, we're here to solve mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world and puzzled the minds of the very best. Today we bring you closure. Now today I'm bringing you a mystery.
Hooray! Mm-hmm.
It's a murder mystery.
Yeah, murder.
Yes.
We don't get enough murder mysteries, I thought. And I've always quite liked this one. And, you know, bear with me because by the end I might be wrong. It might be a terrible mystery.
A terrible murder.
The time is Liverpool. It's Monday the 19th of January, 1931.
1931. Yeah,
1931.
Just checking.
A man named William Wallace, not the freedom-fighting paedophile.
when was he a paedophile?
Well, because in Braveheart, it's implied that he fathered a line of English kings by sleeping with the princess.
But she was only five in real life.
Yes, it's Stuart Lee does a routine about
That. If Stuart Lee comes after me for royalties, then...
Yeah.
I think out of civic pride, I didn't watch that routine.
I wouldn't necessarily, just in case you are Scottish and ethnic, I don't think William Wallace is really a paedophile. I think he was a brave... freedom fighter, and I think Scottish people deserve as many rights as
he was
English
more
people.
Than a man, wasn't he? He was a symbol. He stood for something.
He's like Batman.
He was the Batman of his day.
All right, don't overdo it.
Does Batman get drawn and quartered in the end? I forget.
Why a Scottish man, Mr. Wallace? They fear me. I want my enemies to share my dread. That was Sean Connery.
And Michael Caine.
Yeah.
That was the duo.
show are we going to do the rest of the podcast?
Yes.
No, so, we're bloody not. I was doing young Michael Caine.
I would like you all to picture the scene.
Right, okay. It's,
we're in Liverpool. We're in Liverpool.
1931.
It's Monday the 19th of January, and William Wallace, not that one, is attending a meeting of the Liverpool Central Chess Club.
Oh, I knew it was going to be something exciting.
It's very exciting. This man is pure sex. Oh. Or pure sex. He arrives there and he's playing his chess, and then he's handed a message which had been received via telephone 25 minutes before he arrived.
Right.
Sloppy.
Requesting that he call, because he works for an insurance company. He's like one of those men that used to come around to your house to sell you insurance.
An insurance salesman?
Yeah, you could call him that.
I think that's what you do call him.
That's no, what they call him.
You
yeah.
could. Okay, you don't you have could. To.
Yeah.
He requested that he call to an address at 25 Men Love Gardens East.
Men Love Gardens? That's not a place.
Did you know John Lennon lived in, when he was a kid, lived in Men Love Avenue?
Did he?
Yeah.
Men Love Gardens is a better place name than Men Love Avenue.
Will you let me carry on the story of William Wallace, the brave freedom fighter?
Yes.
Maybe you
the time is ancient Scotland. Mm. Anyway, you're cringing at my Scottish accent.
So nauseous.
The time is ancient Scotland.
Shush. So he's been asked to call at 25 Men Love Gardens East at 7:30 the following evening to discuss insurance. What with him being an insurance salesman.
Yes.
Sounds reasonable.
The man gave his name as R.M. Qualtro.
Okay.
R.M. Qualtro.
Yeah, which is spelled Qualtrough.
Like Susie Quattro.
Kinda. Or like Quattro, the drink that long disappeared before you were born.
Quantro.
I knew the second I mentioned my age, there'd be lots of jokes about not being alive.
I think it's fine that you're younger. I support you in your rights. The next night, Wallace duly makes his way by tram car to the south of the city at the time requested, only to discover when he gets there, there's Men Love Gardens North, there's Men Love Gardens South and West, but there is no Men Love Gardens East.
Wow.
So he asked in a nearby newsagents, also spoke to a policeman on his beat, but nobody he spoke with was able to help him in his search for the address or the mysterious Mr. Qualtro. He also called at 25 Men Love Gardens West just in case it was a mistake and they hadn't heard of the man. So after searching around the district for 45 minutes, he returned home. His next-door neighbour, the Johnsons, were going out for an evening and encountered him in the alley. He complained he couldn't gain entry to his house at the front, so he was going round the back. When he got in through the back door, which was open, he found his wife, Julia, had been brutally beaten to death in their living room.
God.
Oh.
Up to his arrest 2 weeks later, Wallace made two voluntary statements but was never intensively questioned by the police, although he was required to attend CID headquarters every day and was asked specific questions about whether the Wallaces had a maid, why he had asked that. I forgot that bit. He was asked lots of questions, basically.
Yep.
And he was asked, the man who took the message at the chess club was asked to be specific about the time he took it and whether he'd spoken to anyone in the street on his way back to his house. After trying to meet Mr. Qualtro.
An alibi, basically.
An alibi.
At that time.
Now, the police had evidence that the telephone box used by Qualtro to make his call to the chess club was situated 400 yards from Wallace's house.
Ooh. We sent him on a wild goose chase.
Although the person in the cafe who took the call was quite certain it was not Wallace on the other end of the line.
Okay.
Nevertheless, the police began to suspect that Qualtro was William Wallace. The police were also convinced that it would have been possible for Wallace to murder his wife and still have time to arrive at the spot where he boarded his tram. They attempted to prove this by having a young detective go through the motions of the murder, then sprint all the way to the tram stop, and they realised it's probably something he could have done. Forensic examination of the crime scene had revealed that Julia Wallace's attacker would be likely to have been covered in blood. Given the brutal and frenzied nature of her attack, Wallace's suit, which he'd been wearing on the night of the murder, had no bloodstains on it. The police formed a theory that the Macintosh coat that was found underneath her corpse had been used by the murderer, who was naked underneath it, while he committed the crime. Examination of the bath and drains revealed that they had not been recently used, and there was no trace of blood apart from a single tiny clot in the toilet pan, the origin of which could not be established. He was taken to trial and charged. He was found guilty of his wife's murder and sentenced to death But the conviction was later overturned on appeal because there was no motive, weapon or witnesses.
Phew.
2 years after the appeal, he was still employed by the PRU, the Prudential.
Yes.
And in February 1933, William Wallace died.
Of?
Being hung, drawn and quartered.
He died of...
of freedom. Excess he died of fright. Freedom.
He opened his door and there was a chimpanzee and he died.
Oh, what a way to die.
Yeah. Oh. Now, there are many theories. Detectives who knew the call had been made from a phone box near the couple's home considered two of Wallace's co-workers as suspects, but they both had an alibi. The other theory is it might have been a robbery that went wrong. In 1980, the author Roger Wilkes, who was a news editor, investigated the case for a radio program, and he learned a suspect had given the police an alibi for the time of Julia's murder. Basically, a man was seen at a garage that night washing blood off of his hands. Right.
Well, that sounds suspicious.
Yes. His name
was... He could have been a midwife.
Yeah.
He could have had a horrible nosebleed in his car.
His name was Richard Gordon Parry. He was a junior employer at Wallace's insurance firm. In 1931, Parry was a sport young man of 22 with access to a car and a lifestyle that meant he was always short of money. Roger Wilkes' case is that Parry knew the Wallace's insurance takings for the day would have been at a cash box in his home. Since he also knew Mrs. Wallace personally, he would have had no trouble getting into the house on the pretext that he was there on work business. The murder of Julia Wallace for the insurance takings was somewhat in vain, as there was very little in the cash box that day. Parry was seen by police as part of their investigations, but was given an alibi by his girlfriend. Wilkes went ahead and named Parry in his programme years after after the murders. Parry died in 1980 without admitting any involvement in the crime. However, when he was confronted on his London doorstep in 1966, Parry displayed an astonishingly detailed knowledge of the case and was aware of the deaths of several obscure witnesses connected with the case.
Okay.
Hang on.
So those are the two
witnesses
theories.
Were killed?
No, just died of natural causes.
Oh, I see.
Because it was 1931, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he was 1966.
Okay. Right. Well, it sounds pretty damning for him, I'd say.
Yes. Mm. Why, I'm confused, why would they think he was the man who made the phone call if he also...
Giving himself an alibi, is that it?
Well, but isn't he already in the... But no, I mean the one where he... When he gets the message in the chess club.
Yeah.
How would he have done that?
It was made 25 minutes before he got to the chess club.
Oh, okay.
And the call was made from a phone box near his house.
Right.
So he could have phoned it on the way out.
So the theory is he's using other people to corroborate his alibi.
Yes.
So he's phoned ahead, gone to the chess club. They're like, oh, you need to go across town for 45 minutes.
He's tomorrow like, night.
Okay,
yeah. The following night.
Okay.
So then he does that after murdering his wife.
But then the man at the chess club said the voice on the phone sounded nothing like him. But he could have been... Hello, I'm Richard Coulthoff.
I think William Wallace is innocent. Every William Wallace, I think, is innocent. And I think it was this 20-year-old little shit.
Parry.
Right, so
Parry.
What would make Parry think that William Wallace has enough money to be worth robbing?
Well, he works at the same firm.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's got takings at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his first job, so he doesn't know anyone else who has money.
Okay. And so he lures him out of the house, but he doesn't know that he's got a wife, or he doesn't know the wife.
He knows he's got a wife.
He knows he's got a wife. So why would he break in if there was a chance that
I think he's
be...
hoping that she's not going to be suspicious and he can find the box whilst sweet-talking her. It goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because a frenzied attack is either a crime of... It's passion or panic, isn't it?
Mm.
So he's panicked that she is going, why are you looking for our lockbox?
Yes.
And then he was seen washing... supposedly blood.
Right.
Off of his hands later on.
A normal thing to do.
But why would he arrive naked in a Macintosh if he wasn't planning to kill someone?
His other job is a flasher.
Right.
Mm.
And then...
Or a model. He might have been a male model.
Or he just had a Mac on, it got covered in blood, so he took it off.
Mm.
There's a lot of murder mysteries where the theory is that the murderer would have had to be naked, which makes sense, but also it's a very weird thing to picture.
Mm.
Yeah, like Ted Bundy was naked a lot.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are.
I mean, in the bath.
Lucy Worsley covered this case in her murder programme.
Oh, yeah, she had one, didn't she?
There was also a 1990 BBC mini film about this with Jonathan Pryce called The Man from the Prue.
Oh, yes.
What did they concede?
I don't think they did have a theory. I think it was just a dramatisation of him having to go to prison and then getting out on appeal.
Now, I have a slightly left-field suggestion to throw into the mix
here. Is it aliens? Mm.
It's not aliens for once, but it is our old friend Hitler.
Yay!
Now, I've read a book called The Hitlers of Liverpool, which claims that Adolf Hitler was pre-war. Now, I don't know whether the dates line up for 1931, but that is pre-war.
Yeah, it is.
That he was hiding out in Liverpool with his older half-brother Alwar and his wife Bridget Hitler. And they lived in Liverpool.
They were in Liverpool during the Liverpool Blitz.
Right. Which was when?
During the 40s.
Between 1939 and 1945.
Sure.
Yeah.
But,
probably.
But Adolf Hitler, known bad guy. That's just what I'm
saying.
Certainly. Yeah.
Like, he could have started on robbing families of insurance salesmen and built up to
escalated
genocide.
To full on.
Yeah. He got
they
into
do
it.
Start small, don't they? Like serial killers, they start killing squirrels.
Yes, they start with animals.
Then a dog. Yeah.
Dog.
Robberies.
Then a horse.
Then
an elephant.
Yeah. An elephant.
And finally a blue whale.
That's right. Before murdering coral, they finally
the biggest living organism.
I would love if, the reason they caught. What was that serial killer who was caught with bodies in the fridge? What was his?
Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer was arrested because he'd broken into a zoo and was trying to throttle a killer whale.
Imagine.
The difficulty is no neck.
Yeah.
Imagine if he had a big chart of the animal kingdom on his wall. He crossed off everything smaller than a human.
What would you call that serial killer? Because you'd have to give him a nickname, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So you'd have to call him like the
Menagerie Killer.
Oh. The Noah's Ark Killer.
Yeah.
The Food Chain Killer.
Yeah.
Noah's Ark Killer, he would have to kill two of every animal. Which is even darker.
And a male female of each as well.
That's right. Yeah.
And you'd have to pose them when they died of them holding hands.
Oh.
Because they're on the way to the ark.
And you'd have to kill all the bugs as well. It'd
right.
Take ages.
That would take a while. And presumably, like the micro bugs.
Mm, everything.
Oh, but you kill micro bugs whenever you walk across a lawn, so it's fine.
It's very sad.
You can just assume he's done that.
Mm. Isn't man, at the end of the day, the biggest killer of all, David?
Well, undoubtedly, yes.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, that's
100%.
That's a fact, but not all men.
If you agree with us, please, by all means, use the hashtag #NotAllMen. Yeah.
Not all men want to kill blue whales.
They do, though. Some of them do.
Some of them do.
Some of them do, because blue whales, I believe, are endangered, aren't they?
They probably are. I think that's my family's fault as well.
What did you do?
My Scandinavian family, way back when, were whalers.
Full of oil for the lamps.
They were in
Blubber.
Bob Marley's band.
They were in his band, and I'm so sorry. They forced their way in as white
worry,
Scandinavian people into the whalers.
They were a good band. I don't know why you're so ashamed.
Yeah.
Why do they kill blue whales? What do they get from them?
I'm not sure they do. I think that might be an environmental thing more than a killing thing. I think
because
probably
they get blubber from all the rest, don't they? And
it's
oil.
Almost certainly more food sources than anything else. That's what kills most animals.
It used to be
animals.
Incredibly lucrative. You could make like every bit was useful for something,
but I don't
ambergris.
I don't think it
for
was
perfumes, for instance.
I don't think it was blue whales they killed because that would be too much effort, frankly.
Blue whales are still the biggest animal that's ever lived
on
Earth.
So
is that right?
Yeah.
Bigger than like a dinosaur.
Bigger than anything.
Bigger than like
that we know of.
What was it called? Megalodon.
Yeah, bigger.
Yeah.
Wow. Have
everything you say, it's bigger than that.
A blue whale.
Really?
Yes. A blue whale.
Bigger than like
it's the biggest.
Bigger than like the Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a small cat.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bigger than Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Wow.
Yes.
He's the biggest monster who ever lived.
And
yet to come out.
Yeah. I mean, one day they'll find a bigger animal, I'm sure.
Yes.
Because, you know, they do say the bottom of the sea is like outer space.
That's what
they?
I'm excited about.
The
I
Kraken.
Think we should do that at some point.
The Kraken?
Just deep sea monsters.
Giant squid.
Giant squid.
We should
squid,
have a deep sea
squid.
Monster special.
Giant squid.
That'd be fun.
Cthulhu.
That's not real, though, is it?
Is he not?
No.
Is he?
What would be the mystery angle of deep sea sea fish?
Do they exist?
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Well, I mean, with specific ones.
But which
well,
ones?
The Kraken.
Yeah.
That's a story, though, isn't it?
Well, what's it based on? They found big squid.
Massive squid.
It's just giant squid, though.
Squid never stopped growing.
But they found
some people
ones.
Say the moon is a squid.
No, they don't say that.
That escaped orbit because it got so big.
No,
they
no
have
one says
found.
That.
They have found giant squid beaks in whale stomachs that are bigger than any squid they know of.
Wow.
Squid beaks. That's a good set of words.
It is.
Squid beaks.
Squid beaks.
Squid beaks.
So, yeah.
Right, so William Wallace.
William Wallace.
William Wallace was throttling a blue whale.
Yeah. Old arrested. Squid beaks himself.
So, sorry, what was the name of the young guy?
Parry.
I'm imagining he's a bit like a spivvle, like he's got
Richard
thin
Parry.
Moustache.
Yeah, I'd imagine he looks like a spivvle.
He goes by Dick.
Yeah.
Dick Parry.
Dick Parry.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying he goes by Dick.
like going by night?
I mean, like goes looking for Dick.
No. I'm just saying his name would be Dick Parry in 1931.
He'd have a name like Squiffy Parry or something.
Squiffy, yeah.
Yeah.
Old Murdery Parry.
Yeah. Don't know why we call him that.
I mean, I feel like this is quite open and shut, but the question is, why did Parry never get investigated?
Also, why did he send William Wallace on a wild goose chase 24 hours before? Like, that's premeditated. He's thought this through in quite a convoluted way to then have to murder Wallace's wife in cold blood in a panic.
Mm.
I think what you said earlier is what happened, is that he went on there on the pretext of sneaking the money box.
He thought he could charm her.
Yeah.
And he wasn't as charming to an older woman as he thought he might be.
And also, as you say, you know, he got in a panic because he got caught and decided to beat her to death.
With what, though? Like, no
blue whale penis.
They didn't find a weapon, did they?
No.
None mentioned there.
Interesting. Do you think it was a frozen leg of lamb, like in Roald Dahl?
Yeah, it might have been.
They found a frozen leg of lamb in Roald Dahl.
Oh, no, one of his stories.
No wonder they kept him in a shed.
Yeah.
Because that's how she got rid of the evidence. She ate it.
Right, yes.
Clever.
Maybe it was an ice arrow.
That's
everyone's favourite murder weapon.
Like Hawkeye, he was crouched on a building. He shot with one.
Yeah.
Famously aerodynamic ice.
What if he beat her to death with herself?
Easy to hold.
Stop hitting yourself to death.
Yeah. What if he picked her up by the legs and was just slamming her against the floor?
Horrible.
For like 15 minutes.
Probably actually quite lightly.
There we go.
Yeah, it's probably that, isn't it? It's the floor.
Oh, as they say in France, open and shut.
How was it door?
That's good. The French door. Or is it, what do they call them?
Cart door.
No, that's the ice cream.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's Thatcher's ice cream.
Venetra's window, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, door's port, isn't it?
Port, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Any port in a storm, they say. You need doors in a storm.
Is the sign of a boat called port because it's where you disembark because there's a door on it?
Isn't it port out?
Starboard home.
No, that's
it's because there's a port on that side, isn't it? That's why.
I think there's a port.
And there's stars on the other side because it's the sea.
Nailed it.
Another mystery solved.
You're from a maritime family, clearly.
I married into one.
Yeah.
Did your relatives ever see a mermaid?
Not to my knowledge. They did. This is a nice little claim to fame. They did bring the first penguins to Edinburgh. So the bridge over the penguin enclosure at Edinburgh Zoo is now named after my family.
Oh, my God, what's it called? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's called Salverson Bridge.
So I've been over that bridge.
There's a plaque about my family at
bloody
the end.
Bloody loads of times.
Yeah, that's my lot.
Small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
My dad's friend keeps bees at Edinburgh Zoo.
Really? Do they know? Keeps them in a bin.
Has he issued a ransom?
No. They he's allowed to.
Send me some pizzas in good faith and I'll release a bee.
He just lives wild in the zoo with the bees.
They just get like one bee thrown out dead. That was a warning.
Oh.
Next time, bring me a stuffed crust.
And then whenever he needs anything, he uses them like the flying monkeys.
Oh.
He sets them on people.
I went to Edinburgh Zoo specifically to see the pandas because I used to live there and they didn't have pandas. And then I left to live in London, and they suddenly got
pandas.
Pretty
much to me, yeah.
And I went, and the pandas don't have to be on display because they're quite shy. Mm. So I was like, I've come all this
way.
They're
kind of rubbish.
And there were no pandas, you know, it's just a load of bamboo. But then, just as I was about to give up, the panda came out, walked slowly, lumbering through, did a shit, and walked back inside again. I was like, I've seen pandas.
Done.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Boys mustn't hesitate, bash my head like this.
You can't tell me what to do, you ain't my mother!
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I'm like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Fox Delights Pod, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If pandas. They go extinct now, I've got that shitting panda.
Pandas are nature's time waster. They really are.
They are.
But a lot of fuss about
isn't
nothing.
Isn't man nature's greatest time waster?
Yeah, you could say that. But nature's second greatest is the panda, because apart from the fact that they've got little black eyes and look cute, they're just dicks, aren't they?
Really? Oh, they would have died out a long time ago if they weren't cute.
They are. I mean, it's funny that China uses them for diplomacy reasons, because they are terrible for diplomacy. You want a
terrible diplomats.
You want a creature that is strong, virile.
Ah, but no, if they were too virile, then then there would be loads of pandas everywhere and they suddenly stop being this bargaining chip for China.
They'd become a menace.
if they were too virile, they would become a real menace. Like, you'd have to grow bamboo in your house just to get rid of the vagrant pandas in the alleyway.
The point is, did William Wallace do it?
I believe he did not.
Yeah.
I think it was Dick Parry.
Dick Parry.
Spivvy Dick Parry.
Okay, what if they were in on it together?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Would that work?
Hello.
That would work.
Third way.
what if?
What about my Hitler idea?
Actually, I'm going with Hitler.
Yeah, right,
bloody Hitler.
Let me take you back to London in 1888.
Why are you so willing to forgive Hitler, Eleanor? Why?
She wants to give Hitler the
benefit of the doubt.
Right, it was Hitler.
Hitler and William Wallace doing a murder together. That's a film at the very least.
They would have definitely made that in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they made a lot of very poor
tastes. Mel Gibson would quite like to be in a film with Hitler as well.
I think he would.
Do you guys remember Sister Hyde?
Sister Hyde?
You mean Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde?
Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde.
Yeah, Ralph Bates.
And some lady.
Yeah, some lady, I don't remember.
Was this Dr. Jekyll would turn into a woman?
Yeah, it was a Hammer film from the 70s.
Because what is more evil?
Than a man, a woman.
See, I would say that is wrong, because that makes people think that women are bad.
There's a manga comic called Ranma Half, where whenever a boy gets wet, he turns into a woman. And whenever his mentor in Kung Fu, or whatever it is, in martial arts, because it's in a comic, you can't really tell what they're doing, kicking. When his mentor in kicking gets wet, he turns into a panda.
And is that useful?
Well, he's a Kung Fu panda. He was ripped off by the film Shrek.
Does that mean he can never have a shower, because every time he does, he turns into a woman?
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Some of them would like that.
Well, he doesn't mind being a woman. Sometimes it's just it causes embarrassing situations when he suddenly grows boobs.
Mm. Well, I mean, it's called puberty.
Sure.
Maybe that's one of those allegories.
Yeah, probably.
Or is it allergies?
Allergies.
You get bumps from the allergies, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
People do. Well, there could be no doubt. Anyone tuning in this evening to find out what happened with William Wallace,
Hitler.
Not that one.
Hitler. Pre-war Hitler.
Pre-war Hitler. We're all off to murder someone while wearing a Macintosh.
Wow.
Don't tell them.
I can't believe you did that. Going to have to do it differently now.
All right. We're all off to throttle a blue whale.
Yeah.
Which is not a euphemism.
Oh, a blue whale.
I thought, see a doctor. They're blue and I finish with them.
Oh.
Thank you very much for tuning in. And by all means, carry on doing so. We'll see you next week with more mysteries that we haven't decided upon yet.
Yeah.
Because lifting the veil slightly, we're finished for the day. We're going to go away.
I need some sugar.
Ellen needs some sugar. David needs to get away.
I do.
I need lunch. I'm starving.
Yeah. Should we go eat some sugar?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Lovely. All right. Well, thank you very much. If you need to follow the show, it's at All Rather Pod. David is at Mr. Reed. No, he's not. It's Mr. David Reed.
Yeah.
At Eleanor Morton, and I'm at Mr. Ken Shabby. Thank you very much, and see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.